To everybody, Shabbos, good morning. The last couple of weeks we've been discussing chronology, and there's a lot to be said for this because it's important to have perspective on when things happened. Today we're not going to talk about chronology, but I will mention that there is what to say, and I did spend time on it one of the early shiurim last Zman. I'll just make reference to it. If you wish, I'm sure you can look it up. It's probably uploaded. Specifically, we find at the end of Parshas Kisisa that Moshe is told Ksavucha Sadvarim Ha'ela, he's to write down the words that Hashem had told him, meaning to say the mitzvahs that he was given the last set of 40 days. So you have a whole list of mitzvahs. Many of them appeared already in Parshas Mishpatim. And as Ramban explains, Ramban has a very unique shita that there was a new Sefer HaBris that had to in some way be given over to Klal Yisrael. They had to hear it, they had to accept it as part of the reconciliation that came after Chet HaEgel. So the first bris was in some way shaky, and Hashem required new conditions to be met as part of the process of the Kapara. So the question becomes, when exactly did Moshe write this down? And when exactly did Moshe enter into this new bris, which was really a sort of strengthening of the first bris? And so the date of that is very elusive, but there's a couple of Rambans that shed light on this, and that includes Ramban in the beginning of Chumash, in the very introduction to his Perush on Torah, and to Bereishis, I should say, and also the Ramban in Parshas Bahar, and also a Ramban at the end of Kisisa. And again, I won't go over this now, but it would be kedai at some point if you want to go over that shir, because you know, it's a very interesting thing in terms of reconciling the timing of Moshe Rabbeinu's writing down this Sefer HaBris, and especially in terms of the Ramban Shita, also in his introduction to Bereishis, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah. And according to one Mandamar in the Gemar Gittin, he wrote it down, Megillah Nitna, so that means it wasn't all written in the 40th year, but along the way, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down parts of the Torah. So do we assume that when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote from Bereishis, the Ramban says he wrote it until the end of the story of the Mishkan, does that coincide with the writing down that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu was to write down the Sefer HaBris for the time for the reconciliation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel? Is this the same Siva as Moshe Rabbeinu writing the Sefer Torah? That's something that we discussed at length in earlier shiurim. What I'd like to do today is focus specifically on the Rambans in Vayakel and a little bit back in a couple of Rambans in Tetzaveh and Kisisa that really have bearing on Vayakel. And the heading, as you can see on your sheets, the heading for this is the special tribute and level of the Osei HaMishkan. I'm going to start with Bezalel, and then we'll extend that to the crew of Bezalel, the Chachmei Lev. And we'll try to piece together a few different Rambans to really bring out a picture of how the Torah wants to convey the special status of Bezalel. And there's incredible inspiration here for us as well. We see what the Torah is telling us about the way that things came together. Now, really in Parshas Vayakel, Moshe Rabbeinu is communicating to Klal Yisrael much of what he had already been told. And the question, of course, is immediately why the repetition. We'll get to that as well. Much of Parshas Vayakel is a repeat of Parshas Truma. And the truth is, it's not just that, but there are a few different places where the Torah goes through the various parts of the Mishkan and mentions it. And we don't understand why it has to be mentioned time and time again. And we'll get to that Ramban as well. But as part of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael, so in the beginning of the parasha, you find Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, this is what's needed, this is what we have to make, and he gives a list, an accounting of all the different materials that are needed, and the different kelim that have to be built, and so on. And then it goes on and tells us right after Sheni how everyone responded so enthusiastically. And then you look at Shlishi and you have the following. Vayom Moshe b'nei Yisrael. So after telling us how everybody came with such generosity, now Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to b'nei Yisrael and says the following. Ru'u kara Hashem b'shem. Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur Mati Yehuda. Everybody, look. perceive, take this in, focus your attention. Hashem has called out, has proclaimed by name, Bezalel, and Hashem has endowed him with all of these qualities, Ruach Elokim, V'chachma, V'svun of Das, and so on, V'achshav Hashavos, and on and on and on. And he, together with the Haliyah, V'nachisamach Ma'ateidon, and they shall make V'asav Bezalel V'haliyah, V'cholish Chacham Leiv. And I should really, Derech Agav, parenthetically, just point something out to you. As I'm reading these psukim, you see, it's one of those examples that just proves the point that the way that the Chumash is divided into Perakim is not really from our Mesorah at all. It became a convenient way to refer to Psukim when you want to highlight a Pasuk. It came up with the debates that they had to have over the centuries with the Christians. But it's not from our Mesorah at all. And the perfect example is Perak Gamed Vav Pasuk Aleph. You see, it's a new Perak, yeah? But what does it mean? The Asa Bezalel V'Haliyav. It's not that Bezalel is doing it yet, because that's later on, when it starts telling us how they started doing what they were to do. This is part of Moshe Rabbeinu's communication to Kal Yisrael. It's all part of the same Vayom Moshe B'nei Yisrael. Go back to Pasuk Lamed. Again, I'm referring to it by Pasuk Lamed, because you have to know what I'm referring to. You see, this is really a new sect. If anything, if I were to divide it, I would make the new parak right over here, right after Shlishi. Instead, they got the same parak. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Bnei Yisrael, and in the middle of his speech, they changed the parak. Moshe Rabbeinu was continuing to say, so now, and Bezalel and Aliyav shall make. This is all Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. And then, Vayikra Moshe, now. And then he goes further and highlights them and calls them. We'll see about that pasuk in a minute. Pasuk Beis, Lamed Vav Beis. But anyway, you understand. Perak Lamed Vav Pasuk Aleph is a pasuk that really is directly connected. It's the next few words that Moshe Rabbeinu continued to say in his speech. As a matter of fact, I believe that there are those who are magia in the Targum here, because the Targum that we have, I know you tell me in your Chumash if it's different, but my Chumash Pasuk Aleph Va'avad Bezalel. Now, I don't believe that's correct, because it's not that Bezalel is making this now. It's rather, the Asamis he shall make. It's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Kal Yisrael, he will make. So it should say not Va'avad, but the Yaved. I don't know if anyone has that, but I believe that's another Nusach of the Targum, which is more correct. Which is correct. I mean, in any event, that's a parenthetical point. How does it start here? Re'u kara Hashem b'shem. That's a very interesting way to speak. Re'u kara Hashem b'shem. Everybody, look at this. I've got something extraordinary to tell you. Take it in. This expression that Moshe Rabbeinu was using is borrowed from Hashem, who used the very same expression when he spoke to Moshe. If we go back to Parshas Kisisa, before Sheni, so you'll see in again Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Limor, Re'ei Karasi V'Shem, Bezalel Ben Urim Elchor Matei Yehuda. So Hashem is telling Moshe, see, take this in, focus. I have proclaimed my name, Bezalel, and then. So Moshe Rabbeinu's words are almost verbatim, very close to what Hashem told Moshe. And it all starts with the expression, Re'ei Karasi V'Shem, and Moshe uses the same expression. So this requires an analysis that Chazal are very sensitive to, and Ramban Kedarko is as a Mefarish, is trying to explain it, and he shows you that what Chazal are saying, even if they say it with a little different twist, they're really saying the same idea. And I want to bring this idea out because it's very, very relevant. Let's take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban is found in Parshas Kisisa, and then he connects it to what we have in Parshas Vayakeh. Zok the Ramban, Re'ei Karasi V'Shem, and so on. Amar Hashem Moshe, Re'ei Karasi V'Shem, U'Moshe Amar Yisrael, Ru'u Karas Hashem V'Shem. V'hatam, Ki Yisrael b'mitzvayim peruchim b'avodas chomer u'veinim. Lo lamdu m'leches kesef v'zav v'charoshes avanim v'tobos v'lo ra'u osam klal. In other words, Klal Yisrael, their history was that they had absolutely zero experience with this kind of work. Their involvement was with a very different type of work, which is much more coarse, involved with mortar and bricks, and the fine dexterity that would be required in working with silver and gold and carpentry and so on, and masonry. This is something that was they never saw, they never experienced at all. And therefore, the fact that there exists an individual that has the abilities to work with these types of things, the Hinehu Pele, this is a wonder. Sometimes you could talk about a wonder, a natural wonder in the world in an inanimate sense. You know, you look at a mountain, look at the Grand Canyon, and then you could look at a wonder in terms of a human being and the talents that they're endowed with. That's why Chazal Metakin a bracha, when you see a special individual, a chacham. V'hinehu pele sheyimtza bahem, shimatzei bahem adam chacham gadol, v'chesef, v'zav, v'choshes even, v'eitz, v'choshei, v'rokeim, v'oreg. And these extra words, I think, are found out in Kisisa, but I believe in Vayakel. If you go back to the pasuk there, so it adds, further down, pasuk gamed hey, v'choshei, v'rokeim, v'oreg. In Kisisa, those words don't appear, but it's all the same. It's all part of the long list of abilities that Bitzal had. Ki af belomdim ufnei chachamim. And now the Ramban has a point here. Number one, where would this talent come from? There was no experience, no past experience. Furthermore, even if you were going to train, lo yimatzei baki b'chol ha'umniyos kula, you will not find somebody who's so multitask that can actually have the proficiency in all of these abilities. Usually you specialize, so one person is good in this area, one person is good with silver, one with gold, one with masonry, one with, and so on, carpentry. So that's another point, that he can have, he can be the jack of all trades, he can do it all. And furthermore, Ramban is building his case here for the miracle. Vayodim uregilim bahem, even if again you have familiarity, you have training, Bevo yideyan betamid betit verefesh, lo yuchlu lasos ben umnes daka viyafa. In other words, so you might have had a natural ability, and you have familiarity, you have a little experience, but then you get rusty. You start working with coarse bricks and mud. It's not exactly a good way to keep your talent. To the contrary, you will gradually lose it, because it's a different type of a skill. It's more fine, and here you're involved in a different kind of teeth, a refesh, the od. And now on top of all of that, so chacham gadol, and this goes back to the pasuk there. It says, so what does all this mean? Shulchacham gadol b'chachma b'svuna v'das lo havim sod hamishkan v'chol kelav lama tzuvu ve'omer yirmozu. In other words, not just is he handy, but he also has the intellect to understand the depth and the symbolism of all of this. A lot of times you could have people who are very talented with their hands. They could do a lot of things, but it's not their thing is not, you know, they're not sensitive to the intellectual aspects of it all. They can do it. They have natural talent. But Saul knew what every measurement was about and what it represented and what every kli was about and what the Mishkan represented and all that he put into his work. So therefore, that's the meaning of karasi v'shem. V'lachein amar Hashem l'Moshe sheyireh ha'pele hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu, behold, this is something that you need to notice and be inspired by. V'yeda, and what should Moshe realize? What should be the takeaway from this? Look at how the Ramban explains it. V'yeda, ki hu mile osa ruach elkim ladas kol eile. Now, where did it come from? It could have been not only but HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made this happen, who gave Bitzal this extraordinary talent. so many levels. Bavursa Yasa Mishkan. Because this is what Hashem needed to happen at this junction in history. Hashem made, there had to be a Bezalel, because there had to be a Mishkan. Ki haya ratzon milfanav lasos ha-mishkan ba-midbar. This was the will of Hashem, that they have to make a Mishkan in the Midbar. Before they go into Eretz Yisrael, there has to be a Mishkan. So how is it going to happen? Kal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, they had no experience. Hashem had to give this grace and talent to somebody. V'lechvodo b'ro. Hashem created him for Hashem's own honor. Hashem wants it to be a Mishkan. Ki hu kori hadoros meirosh. The Ramban is now quoting a pasuk in Yishai. This is a pasuk that's found in the Haftorah of Parshas Lech Lecha. Kore hadoros meirosh. And one of the stanzas of Adam's Miros borrows from this. Kore hadoros meirosh, meaning Hashem sees in the future, so to speak, crystal ball, what's going to happen at any point. What do we need to have at this point in history? We need to have a Bezalel. Bezalel was handpicked, so to speak, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this mission. And the Ramban is using this expression deliberately because that's the meaning of Karasi B'Shem. In other words, this is what I have. Olav B'machshava L'fanai, there has to be a Bezalel. Therefore, whatever it takes, it's not typical, it's not normal to have this kind of extraordinary talent, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted Bezalel exactly where, in point of history, that he had to be. Kederech b'term yetzorcha b'beti daticha b'term teitzim recha mikdashticha, that Yirmiyahu, in a certain sense, was picked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu from way back, before he was even born. There had to be a Yirmiyahu who would assume this mission to be the Navi to Kal Yisrael. See to it, see that there has to be a Shabbos again, because there had to be a Shabbos. I want you to pick up on it. But the Rabban is explaining, therefore, the meaning of these three words. Moshe, you have to understand the extraordinary miracle that exists in this individual, and how broad he is, and how talented he is. And that's because Karasi V'Shem. This had to be, Hashem picked him, selected him from way back, that he has to exist for this mission. Ula Rabbu, Seinu Bazat Midrash. The Midrash takes it like this. Hera Oso Sifro Shod Marisha. V'omer lo, ko echad iskantim mi Oso Shah. So, Re'u is if to say, look, there's this book, and in this book, you're going to see every generation and the individuals who are over and above the average person and the leaders of the generation. And I've prepared them. Look, it goes back to Adam Arisha. Zeh Sefer Todos Adam. Ba'ach Bezalel may also show his kantioso. I prepared Bezalel from that point, from way back. Shenem re'e karas v'shem Bezalel v'ukin shepirashti. That's a similar idea. Shem had it in advance that it had to be a Bezalel. Now, that's in terms of Bezalel. Bezalel had a whole crew. He had his partner, Ahaliyav, and then he had the whole crew that we call the Chachmei Lev, or V'Lev Kol Chachem Lev Nasati Chachma, as the pasuk goes on to say in Kisisa. Obviously, they must have been part of the same vision and the same miracle. But here we have another aspect of this. You see, I had a chance this week to speak at a wonderful Shabbat Brachas, Rabbi Willig's niece. It's an extraordinary situation. This shidduch was mamish, you could say, made in heaven, because the whole way in which this kahal was born was miracle of miracles. And she was, Chassin was a Talmud and Yeshiva and Mashir. And I had a chance to talk about the idea that a shidduch is obviously made in heaven. Every shidduch is made in heaven, especially something like this. But you see, it's not just that Hashem preordains whatever should be, that a shidduch or whatever, but it also requires the individuals involved at the time and leading up to that time to step up to the plate and to know that it can be done, even defying whatever odds it may be, it can be done. And this is exactly what happens here as well. It's not enough to say that it was all preordained. Hashem needed a Mishkan, l'chvodo bro, Hashem made it that a Betzal should exist. Clearly, without a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no way the Betzal would exist, because it just is, you don't find something like this. But then again, it's not just Betzal had a crew. Where did this crew come from? Also, where did they get the experience? The answer is they didn't. Zero on the resume, nothing, blank. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu made a pitch at the beginning of Vayakel, and his pitch was not just for money. Let's take a look at the beginning of the Vayakel in Pesukim. Beginning with Pasuk Dalet, and he goes on with all of the material and the things that have to be made. That's Hamishkan, that's all of us, that's Seil. But now, if you look, right before that, right before the Pasuk of Es HaMishkan, after he finishes the material, he says, V'chol chacham lev bachem, yavo'u v'yasu es kosh etziva Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu is also mentioning that, of course, we need contributions, but in addition to contributions, we need volunteers. And that's what Pasuk Yud is a solicitation for. V'chol chacham lev bachem, yavo'u v'yasu. That is to say, anyone who's a Chacham Lev, and that's Chacham Lev is a reference to all these people who work with Bezalel, they shall come and they shall do what Hashem has instructed. And he goes on and gives you the, very broadly speaking, the various things have to be made. So now, after Sheni, so it says everyone left. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayavohu kol ish Hashem nesa'o ribo. V'cho Hashem nadva rucho oso, hevi os tumas Hashem l'mreches ha'omor chobadasa. So now, it tells us that every man whose heart lifted him up, and anyone whose spirit of generosity motivated them, they brought the Trumas Hashem, goes on to say various things that were brought by Vohan Hashem Al Anashim, Choshin Nimsito Tcheles Yargaman, and so on and so forth. And the question is, what is the meaning of the expression of Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ko Ish Hashem Nisa'o Libo? After all, if we're talking here about the people contributing monetarily, so then, why is it grouped into two groups, Nisa Olibo and Nadva Rucho? It's totally redundant, correct? It should just say, Vayavo, Kosh, and Nadva Rucho, so and so on. So the Ramban explains beautifully here that we're not just talking about the people who contributed from their pocketbooks, as it were, material, money, but also those who volunteered to be part of the group. And that's responding to Moshe's call, the Chol Chacham Lev Bachem Yavo V'yasu. So the first group, Nisa Olibo, is not the people who are bringing material. It's the people who say, we are ready to join Bezalel and Haliyav to make the Mishkan. But the Torah refers to these people as Nisa Olibo. What is it? Why is the expression Nisa Olibo as opposed to Nadva Rucha? So now let's look at an amazing Ramban. Vayavohu kol ish asher nesa'o libo, zok the Ramban, the next piece on your sheets. Al hachachamim ha'osim b'melacha yomar kein. What nesa'o libo means is those who are actually going to work on the Mishkan. Ki lo matzinu al ha'misnadvim nesius rei, avu yaske behem nedivus. The expression for those who are generous in giving is nedava, nedivus. So what is the meaning of Nisa'oli? Well, the heart raised them up. This is a different idea. It's not just motivation. It's a certain intuition, a certain inspiration. The Tamash Nisa'oli means l'karva al ha'malacha, to come, approach the task, and say, I can do it. And why is it called Nisius Lev? Because we're would they have had any experience, as Ramban developed, as we just read the earlier Ramban, in any of this? No one ever did an apprenticeship in any of this. There was no mentor for any of them on any of this type of work. Or anyone who trained their hands to do this kind of craftsmanship. But the answer is Avol Matsa B'Tivo Sheyada Sheyeda Lasses came. In other words, somehow there was an intuition. He felt, I am cut out for this. I have a natural ability to work in this. And based on that intuition, imagine going for an interview and making your case with such a feeling, you know. I can do it. Okay, let me see what your experience is, what's your background. Nothing. I can do it. Yeah. That's exactly what went on over here. Vayigba libo v'darche Hashem, the Pasuk says, borrowing Pasuk, Vayigba libo v'darche Hashem, it's by Yehoshaphat, I believe, Melech Yehuda. Vayigba libo v'darche Hashem, he's lifted up for the sake of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'avo lifnei Moshe. Imagine the guts it must take. But the answer is, you don't look, you're not uninhibited. You come before Moshe, l'emo lo, ani eseh kol asher adonai dover. Kvar eskati zeh b'seder ha'achir. And that's the meaning of this pasuk. V'nei Omar shabau lifnei Moshe. These two groups. First, koshen esol libo karvel ha'malacha, and second, koshen nadvarucho sohevu atruma. And v'nei Moshe Omar l'kulam ki kara Hashem b'shem b'tzal v'haliyav. And this is the pasuk later, pasuk lamed. Moshe speaks. Everybody is there, and Moshe says Hashem is proclaimed b'tzal v'haliyav. And then pasuk later on, lamed v'beis v'achrichin kara lehem Moshe v'el kochach melev. This is now the Ramban is in the forest trying to work out the details of the psukim. This is later on, after Moshe finishes speaking initially, Ruka Rashem Vishem, then he calls more specifically to the team themselves. And he says, and we'll see more about that in a little bit. That's in Pasuk Beis, Lamed Vav Beis. Now, they were all there. First, he says, everyone here, look at what we have here, Bezalel and Aliyav. And then he calls them and says, okay, let's get to work. I'm going to give you the Nadava, and we're going to start from there. But this Ramban is an amazing Ramban. And, you know, many of you are going to go into the Rabbanis. You know, you can make about 50 drushes in this Ramban. I'm not exaggerating. You can spin it in a lot of different directions, and probably they're all true. There's an amazing idea here. What I said in terms of the Shabbat Brachas was, of course, that, it's not enough to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu has preordained something. It's true. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu preordaining it, nothing could get off the ground. But it also requires those people who are in that historical juncture in history that they are going to be partners, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we will step up to the plate and we will carry out that vision. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it, prepare everything for it to happen. Then you have to ultimately take the initiative. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to happen. It's going to be someone that will do it. But everyone has that choice. It could be me. And you could be the one that makes that difference. And that's what it takes over here, the can-do spirit, that to believe that I can do it. I wanted to tell you, give an example of how you can inspire yourself with this Ramban. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz has amazing shmuzin. They were all over 3 years, in 1900, they published Mesichas Musar. This Ramban appears maybe half a dozen times, if not more, in Rav Chaim Shmuzin in those 3 years. And each time from a different angle. L'mashal, this is a newer edition, so they have it numbered. So Maimar Chaf Ches, the Ramban, Rav Chaim says, the Maimar there is about Nichbadut, in other words, a sense of self-respect and self-esteem, and how important that is in Avodas Hashem. And he says, that's what you have over here in this Ramban, the notion of self-esteem, to know that you're not a Nebuch, you can do it. That's one angle that you can take with this Ramban, and how important it is to have the feeling that I can do it. It's up to me. Another place where he has this. This is in Maimer Nunches, and the context here is Melafno Malfeno Mibehemus Aretz. The idea is that Hashem has given people talents that we don't even realize we have. We don't actualize the fraction of the potential that we have. And you could say it's miraculous, but you could also say it's within our nature, just that we don't access that part of our nature. And that's the angle that he takes over there. And so in a way, it's supernatural, but it's not supernatural. It's within us. It's just that we don't tap into it. That's how he goes over there. In another Maimar, This is a maimer called Kama Gedolim Bale Amona, Samach Dalet. Here is an incredible idea that sometimes when you believe in something, you can empower that something to follow through for you. There's something metaphysical, but it's part of the natural world. Hamamin bezulaso, nosim koach bebitchono bo. In other words, you empower the thing that you put faith in. This is part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world, this natural reality. Therefore, if you believe in yourself, you are actually giving yourself the ability. Again, probably within certain limits, there is a certain sense of natural ability, but what allows you to actualize it, the fact that you believe that you can do something, that's the power that comes from it. Again, it's another dimension, another idea. Willpower, the spirit, self-confidence, and so on. Here's another piece, Atzlus, Samach Zayin. Okay, you want to give a Musa Shmuz about how terrible it is to be lazy, saying, I can't do it. Look at this Ramban. This Ramban refutes it. Here you see, don't make excuses. You can do it. I give you an example of how this Ramban can be used in so many ways, and it's an incredible idea. But in terms of what we're saying with the Mishkan, I think it also brings out what I mentioned before, that it's not enough to say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Hadoros Mirosh. There also has to be the sense of the Mesiras Nefesh that human being has to express to allow that vision of Kadosh Baruch Hu to come to fruition. Okay, that's a little bit of the homiletics here. Let's come back to the Parshanut component, okay? So now we're going to try to, again, focus on some psukim. That are psukim are there to teach us the special integrity and the special status of the team that made the Mishkan. So I want to go back first to a pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. Again, you have to see the Torah's Chativa Achas. This is what the Ramban, hopefully the Ramban is going to sensitize us to. Not just looking at a pasuk for itself. How does this pasuk connect with a pasuk earlier, a pasuk later? So the beginning of the Tzivui of the Mishkan, you have Parshas Truma, and then in the beginning of Tetzaveh, there's a mention of the Chachmei Lev. And it says as follows, Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Gimel. Ve'ata tedaber kol Chachmei Lev, Asher mireisiv ruach Chachma, and you shall make the big dayara. And then Pasuk He, Ve'heim yikchu es hazahav, ve'satcheles, ve'esu argamon, ve'stolas ha'shani ve'esashesh. They, meaning the Chachmei Lev, they shall take the gold, and the Tcheles, Argaman, and Talas Shani, and the Sheish, they still take it. What does it mean exactly? Until now, the Pesukim are mentioning Moshe, you do. Ve'ata tetzave, ve'ata hakri lecha, v'yasisa v'gdei kodesh. Suddenly the Pesuk is, ve'hem yikru es hazav. Says the Ramban Pshat, hine kod savos adkan hoyo b'moshe atzmo v'yasisa tase, ve'ata tziva she'idaber el kol kach melev she'yasu abgadim, kach omar, ve'hem yikru es hazav, v'sa Tcheles, and so on. Meaning to say the following. What is Hashem? What significance of Hashem saying they shall take the gold? What does it mean? We probably read this pasuk year after year. We don't really pay attention to it. What does the pasuk mean? Hey, mikru sazahav. Meaning as follows: sheyikablu anedava minatzibur liyasu bo asabgod. They shall take those things that have been pledged, and they shall follow through and make what they make the begad big dekuna here it's referring to. Meaning, v'atam lomar shelo yishka lehem anedava v'lo yimne. There's no need to do it with a special accounting. How much am I giving you? Make sure they don't pocket anything for themselves. Typically, that's what you need to do. That was always the challenge for a tailor in Europe, right? Today, we don't always think about the integrity of a tailor because we're more sophisticated in our society, but in Altaheim, so you pay for a certain material, and you make your custom suit or whatever, and there'd be leftover material that costs money, and it'd be very tempting for the Schneider, the tailor, to take the extra material for himself. After all, he's rationalizing, he's more a heter. The Minsky God, though, one of the great Goyim, Tam Rav Chaim, his father was a tailor. His father wanted that his aron should be made from the table that he worked on as a tailor, because he never took an extra scent for himself, material of anything. And the thing that was to be made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that was the actual table that he used to when he worked. So here they're going to take all this material, and there's no need to reckon how much are they taking, how much is being used. They're trustworthy. As it says in this is going to be the Haftorah next week, I believe. Haftorah of Parshas Shkolim. And now the Ramban emphasizes the following. This pasuk is written by Bigdei Kohuna. However, it refers to everything. Kashanema the begadim, the same way that by the begadim they shall take it without having to account for it. Kiveyom harishon, and this is going to send us back to Vayakel. Kiveyom harishon vilvad ksi vayikchum milufnei Moshe. The first day, the material went to Moshe, and that's it. And after that, the material was going to go straight to them. Vigam hu shelo b'cheshbon lakhu hakol milufanav. And then again, they took it all without having to account for it. U'bishara yomim heviru aleihem. So they got from Moshe the first day without a cheshbon, and then the other days they got directly. We'll see there may be a bit of a steer on this in Vayakel. We'll see soon in the Ramban. But the Ramban is reading over here that the other days they brought directly to the Chachmei Lev. And that's why it says in Vayakel, too much. What are they saying? What do you mean? Why are they saying this? Doesn't it all go through Moshe? How they did? So no, they get the material from Moshe. Piecemeal? No, they don't. They had everything to work with, and they saw what they need, and they saw there's much more than what they need. Then manu v'shaku. After they got everything, they made a cheshbon. How much? V'amru l'Moshe, and that's how they know how much there was of everything. Now let's look at the Ramban in Vayakel. So here again, you see the Torah is making a big point about the not just that the fact that they were very gifted, but that they're also honest. It doesn't always go together. These people had impeccable integrity, and therefore there was no need to do it in such a way that they should have to answer for everything that they got. Vayikchu milifnei Moshe. Now look at the pasuk in Vayakel. So again, look at how the pasuk can flow, right? We started earlier in this year, right after Shlishi. Vayomer shebnei Yisrael kor Hashem b'shem. And he gives the whole, all the accolades, singing the praises of Bezalel and Aholiyav. And then it says that he shall make all of this. And then Moshe highlights them specifically, come close, because he's going to give them what he had so far. So, Vayikchu milufnei Moshe, Pasuk Gimel. So what does it mean? Vayikchu milufnei Moshe. Zev's the Ramban. On this pasuk, Hine biyom echad heviu kohen adav azel salol moed shusha Moshe. Try to really imagine what's going on here. Moshe Rabbeinu made his pitch for everything that's needed. They left and they came back. This is the best successful appeal of history, right? They came back with everything. And where did they bring it? So imagine where they're bringing it. There was no Mishkan yet. There was no what's the central place. So the answer is, think about Parshas Kisisa. Moshe Rabbeinu had a new address. Moshe Yikach Esa'ol, Vedat Tov Muchus Lamachaneh. What did he call it? What was its name? Its name is Ol Moed. It was a precursor to the Ol Moed of the Mishkan. Was the Ol Moed of Moshe. They brought it to Moshe's tent. Now, Vachachamim Lakhu Bo Biyom Milafanav. Lakhu Bo Bayom Milafanav. They took from him the material that day from Moshe. And the next day in the morning. The chain b'sheni, and also the day after, heviu elav od el ahalo nedava. So they also brought the nedava. They were bringing it. Most of it came the first day, but there was also the stragglers. People, until they found everything, they came the next day. Or there wasn't enough, you know, the line was too big, so they had to come the next day to bring more. V'hud tziva lahavi osay lo umnin. Now, look at the lashon of the pasuk here. So they're taking from Moshe on the first day. So how's Rabban reading that pasuk? They also brought to Moshe more the next day. One day and baboke the following day as well. And the next day, Moshe Rabbeinu said that they took it from Moshe the first day. And the second day, he said, bring it to the Umnim. How do we square that with Ramban that we just read in Tetzaveh? The Ramban says in Tetzaveh, Ki vayom harishon bilvad ksiv veikchum lufnei Moshe. Meaning that it sounds like they shall get it directly. Yehi mikhus ha-zahav means that they shall take it directly from the people. It's only the first day that they had to take it from Moshe. But here it says that they brought to Moshe the second day as well. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, So is it a stira? What do you think? It's an interesting question. How do you reconcile the two Rambans? Unless you say like this. The first day, they brought it to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had them take it from him. So it made a first stop. The material had to be brought to Moshe. And then they got from Moshe. The second day, they bring it to Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, this is not the right address. So Moshe Rabbeinu directs them. The mail, sometimes it gets diverted to another address. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, bring it direct. So that's what Ramban meant there also. They brought it, they took it from Moshe the first day. The other days, they get it directly. And the people didn't know that until they came the next day. Not that Moshe's door, and Ol Moed. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, go directly to them. So bottom line is that they ended up getting it the second day directly, but it just took a circuitous route till they came to the Chachmei Lev, where they were working. They first stopped at Moshe. Maybe that would be the way to work it out. Could be, but I'll leave the question as a question. Yes?
Isn't it an issue of counting?
There was no need to count. That's what the Ramban emphasized. There was no need to count.
Right, so saying, even if they brought it to Moshe, it's not a problem. It was a big pile.
Right, but the question is, the Ramban says that they only took it from Moshe on the first day, but here it sounds like really it was the second day too, that it had to go first to Moshe and then they got it. But that's what the Ramban means here. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you bring it, not that they came to Moshe. They had to only make one visit to Moshe to get the stuff. After that, they stayed where they were and it came to them. The first day they came to Moshe together, the next day Moshe Rabbeinu directed the people. They brought it El Ahalov. But he said, no, this is not where it's going to go. We're not going to make them come back a second time here. You bring it to them directly. I said, but again, none of it was none of it had to be accounted for. Afterwards, they said how much we had. But when it was handed over to them, it was totally entrusted in them. And no one had to say, how much is being brought to you. They shouldn't be stealing. There was no concern about that. As far as what was left over, the Rabban goes on and says it wasn't that much. The Torah doesn't tell us what it was done with it. Fine. Now, let's talk about the Ramban later in the parasha, which is a global issue. Why the Torah so much goes out of its way to talk about the details of the Mishkan. And really, there are two major accounts where the details are mentioned. That's in Truma, Tetzaveh, and then Vayakha Pekudeh, which is in many ways just reiterating what was already said in the Tzivoy. But then you also have a couple of other references, and I'll just highlight that, then we'll see the Ramban inside. For example, in Kisisa, so right after that section, that in that section of the Ekarasi Vishem, when Hashem is speaking to Moshe, so it goes on and tells you what shall they make. So beginning with Pasuk Zion, this is Lamed Aleph Zion, Eisol Moed, Besarim LaEdus, Esar Shulchan, and so on, it's Mitzvachot. So here you have Hashem reiterating, identifying all the different parts of the Mishkan. Why does that need to be said here? You already have all Pesuma Tetzaveh. So you have all the details, you certainly know the generalities. So why does it go over the names of the various things? So you have that. So that's, in a sense, the second time you have the details mentioned. Here it's more general. In Truma Tetzaveh, you have within each thing, the nitty-gritty of what the dimensions are and so on. Here you have Hashem mentioning all the things generally. Then you go to Vayakel in the beginning, when Moshe Rabbeinu says that they shall make the various things, and it goes on and mentions them. It has the material, and then it says, Es HaMishkan, Pasuk Yud Aleph, and on. Again, this is sort of parallel to Kisisa, in a way, mentioning all the various parts of the Mishkan. Then you have all the details of Vayakel, Vayas, with all the details that, again, repeating what we had in Truma, and then in Pekudei, repeating what we had in Tetzaveh. Okay, and then finally, after it's all finished in Pekudei, so again, the Torah gives you an account of all the different parts of the Mishkan and what were made. And this is beginning with Revi in Pekudei, Mem Pasuk Gamed Gimel, Vayaviu es HaMishkan al Moshe, and it goes on, what was brought to Moshe? So, Oel Ves Kokelov, Krasav, Krasav, da-da-da, Ves HaShulchan, Ves HaMnora, Ves Mizbach HaZav. Could have just said, everything could have been compressed, and you would have avoided a lot of repetition. So, notice five different points where we have a lot of mentioning of the Mishkan and its Kelov. So the Ramban comment is as follows. Hinei hechzir b'torah melechas ha-mishkan chamesh pa'amim. We've identified them. Chamesh pa'amim. Ki yizkir es kula b'tzava'a b'frat u'b'chlal. Specifically and generally. Tchila amar v'yasisakach v'yasisakach. That's Parshas Truma. Parshas Tetzaveh. V'achrichin yizkir kula b'derach klal. V'asu es kosher tzivisicha es olmoi. That's the section in Kisisa that begins with Re'e Karasi V'Shem that we began the shiur with. So goes on and mentions all these parts. Esa Omoiz and Le'edus, Tichosh and Tzvicha Yasu. So let's start with that. V'atam B'zeh. She'tziva Hashem L'Moshe She'yagid al-Bitzala. This is what Re'e Karasi V'Shem, that section. Hashem says to Moshe, Tell B'tzala Na'aliya V'chol Chachamim Hamelacha B'chlola. V'achrichen Yikrivu Eilel La'asosa. They have to hear the general overview of what is entailed here, and then before they start approaching to do it, now with all the inspiration that I can do it, if you're not going to know what you have to do, even in general, that's folly. You're not going to say, I can do it, don't even tell me, I can do it. That's not what the Ramban meant of Nisal Libo. Nisal Libo is you have some basic idea of what the job is about, but you don't have the experience, and you know, I'm diving right in, I can do that, but you have to know what that is, at least in some way. So they have to hear, Mitzal has to hear, and everyone has to hear the general, what has to be made. Kilo yichshu melechas al kodesh, they're not fit and qualified. Ad sheyishmu kol ha-melacha, and then not just a detail. You have to hear the whole picture, the package. V'yavinu osa, v'yikabu aleim sheyedu l'ashlima. Them accepting that they can actually complete it. So that's the meaning of the section in Kisisa that says call the Ekarasi Vishem, and you have to tell him all about what the job entails in general. Ubishas Hamaisa Hiski also Tchila B'derech HaKalaniska. That's the meaning of the beginning of Vayakel, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling everybody this is what they're going to make. So Moshe Rabbeinu basically gives them that same overview that Hashem told Moshe to give them. The Amar Yavol V'Yasu Eis Kosher Tziv Hashem Es HaMishkan Es Alo, and so on. Now, but there's something missing. The Torah does not say. Because even though Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the overview, Moshe Rabbeinu had to also give them something else. He had to give them the specific instructions. How are they to know the measurements of the Aron, the measurements of the each thing? So Moshe Rabbeinu obviously had to also, which is not mentioned in Chumash, never says in Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Tzal and Aliyev and the team, this is the dimensions for this, and these are the dimensions for that. The Yachsa Mikan Pradecha, that detail is not missing. It's missing in Chumash. Ki bevadai, hutzrach Moshe lemar l'chachamim ma'osim ha'melacha, as follows, asu ha-mishkan eser yiriyos, orach ha-yiriya kach, erochav kach. All the details that Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Truma, he had to tell the Chach Melev, v'chein b'chol ha-melacha. V'lo hizkir ha-kosuv zeh, why not? Ki biyaduash, amar lehem ha-kol keseder. Achar isha asu kein kol dar v'davar. They did it all. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the information. The Hatamba Zen, and further, why doesn't it tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them every detail? Because really, Kilo Hutzrach Moshe Lifrod Lem Kol HaMaisa Dover B'Dover Kashe Huska B'Tzavah V'Maisa. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have to be as specific as the words of the Pesukim suggest, both in the Tzivoy and the Asiyah. These are smart people. There's a certain way to speak that basically they get just like in any field, you know, just even today, you know, there's certain shorthands. You say, you know, give me a 2x2. You know, someone doesn't know the lingo, you know, the jargon. What is he talking about? 2x2, whatever. You know, you use certain expressions, especially within a particular field, that everyone knows. If you're in that field, you know what the idea is. Avokitzvulam ki ilu amr sheyasu mishkan be'esa yirios chamish keneged chamish. Make 10. Think five opposite five. It means they have to have those attachments, the kasizav, and that's already clear. Moshe Rabbeinu could speak in shorthand, and then they understood exactly what the details meant. They didn't have to hear exactly the same words. So the Torah doesn't go into the details that Moshe said all that. And that again is a tribute to their wisdom, their intelligence. It's not just, see, what I told you is not a good mashal, because I told you people who have experience in the field, and they use that expression because they've been working in this field for a while. Here, it's totally their own intelligence. They don't need to hear bracha b'tchak tana. They basically understand what they meant. So therefore, okay, now we get to the details as they're carried out. The acharechen, and this is the bulk now of Parshas Vayakel. Hechzir amulacha kula b'derech haprat harishon. Haprat harishon, it's b'kiderech, like the way it was enumerated in Truma. Vayas kol chacham lei b'olsi amulachas hamishkan. Vayas yirios izin, and go on and on and on. Each one, the way it's mentioned in Truma. Vayas es hakroshim. Now here again, the question is obvious. Vayamaspik b'chol ha'inyan sheyomer. Really, you could have shortened it, everything. Moshe Rabbeinu told them all the malacha that Hashem commanded. Go back to Truma, Yitzhava, you'll find it. V'yomar, it should say, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael k'cho shetziva Hashem es Moshe k'inosu. And the b'nei Yisrael did all that they were commanded. V'yar Moshe es k'cho malacha. They saw it all. V'hinei asu l'soka shetziva Hashem k'inosu v'barachu l'sa Moshe. Don't have to say they brought this, they brought that, they brought the other thing. And you don't have to go, you could have just avoided the whole parasha kemat that way. And half a pekudah. Avorad saloma ki Moshe hizkir al kodas b'nei sal v'achachamim sham kom racha b'chlau. So the answer is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted everybody, including the chacham, including the people, to hear in the beginning of Vayakel all the pieces of the puzzle in general. The Mishkan, this and that. Why? He wanted people to pledge according to the needs of what this project entailed. So that's why the people needed to hear. The people needed to hear all the different aspects, because also that means this we need a certain amount of gold, because we're going to have this and gold and that and how many kelim. And for them to hear it, so that they understand that what they're committing to. That was what Rambam mentioned earlier. That's the fulfillment of what Hashem said to Moshe when Hashem said they shall make all these different things. Moshe Rabbeinu is conveying this to them. At the same time, he's conveying it to the people for the solicitation of the funds. So he's accomplishing two things at the same time at the beginning of Vayakel. He's mentioning the list of the things that have to be made first in order to get the people to understand that they have to contribute a lot. And for the Chachmei Lev, potential Chachmei Lev, they haven't come forward yet, to understand what they're committing to, what they're volunteering for. Okay. The acher chen hiske b'frat ha-maiseh l'hagid she'osu kochacham b'mishkan zeh she'nema v'yasu kochacham rev. Okay. V'omar v'yas yirios izim v'yas es ha-krushim. What's the v'yas? Who's the v'yas? Yir tzalomar. V'yas kochacham rev. Every one of the chacham rev made yirios izim. By the art, it says v'yas b'tzalel. Why? The Aron, only the greatest of the craftsmen, Bitzal himself did the Aron. Remember, Bitzal had something else over the Chachmei Lev. The Chachmei Lev may have been very self-confident and very talented, and they tapped into the talent, but Bitzal had something else. He had the Ruach Elokim to understand the symbolism of everything. The Aron required just Bitzalel, because he was the only one that could do with the full measure of the Kavanah Ritzuya. Because ki ein b'maseh umnes gedola, from the perspective of the physical building, constructing of the Aron, it doesn't require necessarily more than anything else, To the contrary, Yesha Malachas Kitzvichos Gumnus Yisirim, and some things, maybe the menorah required more of an umnus and some of the other things. So who is that? The last Vayas that had a name attached to it was Bezalel. What's the Vayas by the Shulchan? That's Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra says, Yimos of Bezalel Shah Asa Kokli HaKodesh. The Ein Kain Daiti. Now, according to Ibn Ezra, the earlier Vayas, before the Aron is mentioned, that's the Chachmei Lev. Starting with the Aron was only Bezalel. Bezalel did all the Kli Kodesh. Aron, Shulchan, Menorah. The Ein Kain Daiti. Why don't I agree with him? Shigam b'chatzar mishkan amar kain. And that's not the Kli HaKodesh. So why should that be b'tzalel? Rather, avul chozer lirmoz hakol chacham lein. Kasher amar b'mishkan. It knows the vayas of the menorah is the same vayas as vayas by the earlier mentioning. The vayas of koch vayas yiris izin. Okay. The achar shehishim kal prat b'maise. So this is now the details in Vayakov Bekudei. Hizkir ha'avoy al Moshe b'derach kal. This is the end of Bekudei. V'amar. Vayaviyu es ha'mishkan al Moshe esolves kol kelav. So they brought everything. Why is it mentioned they brought everything? They brought it with a system. Not that one person finished the shulchan. Hey, Moshe, come take a look. I'm done the shulchan. Or look, we finished the menorah. Moshe didn't come to inspect anything until everything was finished. They all assembled the heroism of Keseder. They showed them one at a time. Amru Tchila Rabbeinu. Hinei Ha'ohel. Hinei Kelav. This is all the Chachma, the Ma'il of the Chachmei Lev. How to do it. How to show your job. You might want to be excited about yourself. Oh, look, when I'm done in the middle, the kids are in the middle of a project. So, you know, I know with the children, you each wants to show you, look what I colored. And it's not finished yet, but look, I'm finished this. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Need reinforcement. These are professionals. These are Chachmei Lev. It doesn't work that way. You finish everything, and then you come to Moshe, and you give him a tour. And this is the tour. Today we have virtual tours even before it's finished. You give a walkthrough, right? There was no walkthrough for the Mishkan. It had to be finished, and then Moshe Rabbeinu took and inspected it. Now let's try to see if we can finish this. Interesting. In Vayakel, it doesn't repeat after each segment, Kashat Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. But in Pikudei, Edela Pikudim, the Big Day Kuhuna, Yaske came b'chol davar v'davar. Very interesting diuk. This you have to notice in the Pesukim. After every one of the Big Day Kuhuna, Kashat Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. In Vayakel, it doesn't go after each point, Kashat Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. That goes in everything. That Chazal said that he switched the order, the Aron and the Mishkan should go first. The Ofer doesn't want to say Kashem Tzivot Shem Moshe. The Ala Klal, and now the Rabban gives a summary of all of this. Another idea here. The fact that Torah is Ma'irich so many times is a general way of showing how everything is so chavib to Hashem, or what an amazing endeavor this is. Lomar ki chafetz Hashem b'malacha u'maske osa b'tarasso pamim rabos lahabo schar lo'oskim ba. In other words, the malacha is so dear to Hashem, the fact that it's mentioned so many times is because to increase the schar, those who are involved with it, it's something that Hashem cherishes so much that we'll mention again and again. This is what we find by the story in Eliezer, where he repeats the story to the family, the same details, more or less, that were mentioned earlier, because of the chavivus of Avdi Avos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same basic idea can be mentioned here as well. The Torah repeats it because it's such an amazing, wonderful thing. That the more talking about it, the more that it just shows you the chavivus and increases the schar of all those who were engaged in such a wonderful endeavor. Okay, so I hope we got a bit of an inspiration, a little bit of hopefully an appreciation of working with the psukim, trying to work out how psukim complement one another, and a lot of chazer over Shabbos. But hopefully, we can do that. Good Shabbos, everybody.